Last week, let me just do a review from last week. Is I talked about something I shared a few months back, that in 2024, this would have been God's timetable, September 23 to September, this is fine, September 24, that I think in the Hebrew, the word that on the Hebrew calendar, they have, of course, they obviously go by our calendar too, but the Hebrew calendar is the year 5784, and give or take, that's their best guess. Since the creation of the world, that's where that came from. And they acknowledge that there was a few years missing there, probably. But it meant open door at the basic level. And so we talked 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, I don't remember. Sometime we talked a lot about this word, so I'm not going to go in detail. You can go get it on our YouTube channel, podcast. We got it in four places. That the Lord, from September 2023 to September 2022 to September 2023, basically 2023, because the Lord's calendar, Hebrew calendar, September to September, from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, that there was an open door. And we talked a lot, and doors are for what? For people to walk through. And that year, 2023, there was a lot of open opportunities for a lot of open people to walk through stuff. The Lord gave us an opportunity to change our worship even more than it already did. And He said it would cost us. And all these things that, you know, we could go people by people. There's been things that's happened that He called us into, but we had to move from one room to a new room. It's different size, different colors, different style, different furniture, because He's wanting to bring more of heaven to earth, as Matthew 6:33 says. And and if you paid the cost, because you have to leave some stuff in the past room, you can't bring all the furniture and all the stuff from one room to the other. You know, and this is a metaphor. It's your maybe your projects you're doing, sometimes even people. It's emotions that needed to be freed up. And as we walk from one room to the other, then in September 2023 to September 24, basically all of last year, it was 5785, and that means open windows. Humans don't walk through windows, but the Holy Spirit blows wind into those rooms. And wind is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. John 3:8 says, you don't know where I come from, you don't know where I go, but I come and go. And so for those of us that moved into those rooms, that paid that cost, that changed our thinking, and which then would change our actions, He's blowing on it. And so you had an open door, an open window, because He wants you to occupy. So it's not just change of scenery. He is moving us to occupy our room. And that's a metaphor for whatever we're assigned to. He is changing us. He's blowing on us with an anointing, and this is what we talked a lot about last week, with an anointing, a strength, wisdom, strategy. I could probably preach the same sermon, but I'm not going to occupy things that we saw in the other room. We could look into the room of the future and go, I feel this. Why can't I get there? He's there now. This is the year of occupying. This is the year, I actually said around September 2024 to now. So we're right in this year. These September things throw me off and really mess me up. And so it's to occupy. Now, we talked about last week a formula that is the base, and I'm going to go in more detail today, a formula that is a base for occupying. We spent the whole week on it. The formula is this. He speaks to me in formulas a lot of times. I guess that's because I'm an engineer or a software developer, just a lot. That's just the way my brain works. Some people, He speaks through them poetically, like John. His nickname is the poet there. I wish I had that skill. I don't have that skill. Mine's just real blah, 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 blah. But we talked about this formula of plan plus prophetic equals the purpose. And so this year and for the rest of your life, we want to lean into this. Go, Father, You have shown me some things I'm to occupy, some things I'm to change, some things I'm to believe for. I need a plan. I need wisdom. I need strategy. I need insight. And then as he gives those to you, you never stop the prophetic. Prophetic, I'm not talking about words of knowledge. I'm not talking about a prophet. I'm not talking about the motivational gift from Romans 12 of prophets. I'm talking about the voice of the Lord. The basic word of prophetic is hearing his spirit. He is making us mentally strong, mentally wise, emotionally strong, emotionally intelligent, and he's given us the spirit at the same time. He is marrying the spirit, which is the prophetic, and he's marrying the soul together to one super normal dude. And so that's something we constantly, when you hit a wall, go, Father, I need a plan. Sometimes he'll just say, be still and let me fight. Sometimes he'll show you the next little step. But you're going to find that those next little steps are happening faster, quicker, more anointing than in the past because of he's blowing on it. And this is the time to move according to the dreams he has. I didn't watch the Oscars. I don't watch those kind of things. I don't even really watch TV. So I don't have a thing against the Oscars. But this is what I was told happened at the Oscars. Is that they played a song from the musical Wicked, which is a derivation of The Wizard of Oz. And so I went out there and found the song and listened to it. And then I looked up the lyrics. And some of you, this may be your favorite song, you may never have heard of it, but it was a song called Defying Gravity. Now, it's a secular song. But in these words, I found something I really think God's speaking even through secular people. Because this song was picked because it resonated with so many people. And these are all non-Christian people, mostly, I imagine. But there was, over and over in this song, was the words unlimited. Here's a portion, small portion, it's a long song, almost 8 minutes, of the lyrics Defying Gravity. Kiss me goodbye, I'm defying gravity. And you can't pull me down, come with me. Think of what we could do together, unlimited. Together we're unlimited. Together we'll be the greatest team that's ever been. So let me reread those words and picture the Father saying them to you. I'm defying gravity. That's a physical principle. He's defying it. And you can't pull me down. Come with me. He's not coming to our level. Now, when we have needs, I get it. He's merciful and he comes. But his kingdom is expanding. Think of what we could do together. Unlimited. Together we're unlimited. Together we'll be the greatest team there's ever been. Those are biblical concepts and biblical truths. And I think maybe, I don't know, like I said, I don't even watch the Oscars, that maybe one reason they picked that song was because there's a heart cry. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, in every person, eternity is in their hearts. And I'm seeing this, especially in the younger generation, which you define it however you want to. The younger generation, I think they identify with the songs because I think they're hearing the cry of a supernatural God. And they're hearing a cry, I am made for more than all this sexual insanity, to all this gender insanity, to all this racism insanity. I am made for more. And they can't put a words on it yet. But this is where we come in to help them, to give them hope. To say that cry is the very thing that you've been told is not real, but it is real. That cry is coming from a supernatural God that loves you and is not against you because he sent his son for you. And you can tell them, listen, I don't necessarily know what the plan is for your life unless the Lord gives you some broad prophetic word or specific prophetic word. But you can tell them God is unlimited. We're not. But God will rub off on you as you walk with Him. And these are conversations that I want us to start looking around for our family members, those that maybe are even prodigal sons. Because no matter where they're at, many times we go off doing the prodigal thing because we're looking for the unlimited. There's got to be more than what I see around us. And this can help introduce them to Jesus Christ. Genesis 1:27 and 28 is something that we lost for about 100 years in this country. And it's now starting to enter the Christian language a little bit. Genesis 1:27 is what I call the original commandment. We know the two greatest commandments, love God, love others. But this was the original commandment, and He hasn't rescinded it. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created people in His own image." And that's something you can tell people. This whole insanity that I just talked about is trying to redefine your identity to something you think it should be. And it appeals to our pride. It appeals to our humanity. But there's nothing there. You can never get your identity by looking inward. You get your identity by meeting your Father who created you, who had a plan of how you should look like. And it's to look like Him in all the multifaceted ways. And you can tell people that. Your identity that you... All of that insanity is trying to find identity. Trying to find purpose. But you can never get your identity and purpose away from the Father. And you can tell that to people in a hopeful way, not a... Christians often condemn other people because they're not following God. That is not... Do not do that. God assigned us to affect the world, not reject the world. They need to know the hope that is in you and the hope. And this is all part of occupying. As we lovingly tell them, your identity is you look like your Father. Anyway, going on, God patterned them after Himself. Now, do I understand what that looks like? No, not really. Probably like 1%. But man, is that a statement. No matter who is traumatized, no matter who was violated, no matter who the devil tried to steal their lives. Because he hates people. Let me throw this out. Something to think about. He hates people. He wants to destroy people. But I think, and so that's a motivation, but I think probably his primary motivation is when he destroys a life, maybe not actually physically, but their life becomes a wreck, he's destroying the image of God. Have you ever thought about that? He's almost like sticking up, well, I wouldn't say that. He's almost like shouting to the Father and going, "Ha ha, I destroyed your image." Because that's his number one thing that he's after. And so you can speak hope into people and going, "Yeah, I get it." Maybe you don't get it, but I see it. I hear it. But you're created in His image, and He is great at bringing burnt boxes, to use the metaphor from earlier, back. And He'll do it. I mean, there's many of you in this room can give great illustrations of that and can tell where you've been, but now where you're at. So anyway, we hadn't quite got to God's original commandment yet. God patterned them after Himself. Male and female He created them. There's the whole identity thing. God blessed them and told them. So here we go to Adam and Eve. And this commandment has never been rescinded. Multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. The word subdued is to bring my rule into the earth. There's a lot of talk now about kingdom of God. You know, there wasn't 10 years ago, but it seems everywhere. It's a God thing. So what does that mean? It means bring the king's principles and the king's presence into your domain, wherever it at. Each of us have our own domains. You know, it may be owning a business. It may be working with kids. It may be working in a hospital, maybe working with code, but you still got people all around you. Bring the King's principles and presence into your domain. And that doesn't mean you're going in and preaching because you're getting paid to do whatever you're getting paid. But you can influence in many other ways that leads outside of that. And the reason our society, like I said, 100 years, started about 100 years ago, the church withdrew from what we call here the seven mountains, but it's society, all of society. The pictures on the left as you leave it doesn't say it in the Bible, but it's a great way to break up society in the seven ways of arts and entertainment, government, business, family, on and on, church. As we were to never withdraw, I'm personally convinced the reason there is such insanity and craziness in our world is because we withdrew and said we're just going to keep it within the four walls. And because we did that, nature abhors a vacuum. You probably heard that in some science class somewhere. That means if there's a vacuum of air, some other kind of air will rush in, and it rushed in. And, you know, with starting in the 60s with this radical sexual revolution, which seems so mild now compared to what it is, but it opened the door. Not so much in this country, but definitely Western Europe has a major problem with radical Islamism because they almost have no Christianity there. And then in this country, besides the radical sexual revolution, we had the secular liberalism, which you can also call humanism, that nothing rises above us. Whatever seems good in our eyes will do. And that has caused what we have now. And frankly, those three things are all through the church. I was talking to somebody this week and they said, what do you think is going to happen with the church? I said, I don't want to name any denominations, but let's just say mainline Protestants. I think God's written them off. Not in the sense that he can't save them, but they've chosen their path. And evangelicals, which is what we are, is in major battles right now for identity. And are we going to follow the Bible? And if is what God has said was true. And I think he will always have a remnant. He will always has his people. And when that battle's over with, the best we know how have chosen sides here. It's a war. There's a civil war in the church right now. But out of that, coming on the other end, is going to be the greatest reformation we have ever seen. We've all been praying for revival. I actually think we're in the first stages. I think there's three R's. Renewal, then revival, and then reformation. Renewal is renewing the people in the church, getting them to return to their first love. And that's happening. I mean, we've seen it here. Revival is then getting those that have either fallen away or do not know God at all, and saved. And we're seeing that, pockets of, especially in the universities. We talked a lot about it last week, or some. But there's even something bigger. He doesn't just want us changed. He wants us to reform the society. The Reformation, the first time it was used, was with Martin Luther back in 1517. That started the Protestant Reformation. That went all the way through society. Those that were open. Not everybody was open. But you have to keep in mind, it was a war. And so there's a war here in this country, politically. There's a war spiritually, a war religiously. Do you realize there was a 100-year war, physical war, between nations that were either Protestant, they were going towards the new Protestant. Protestant started with, we protest. That's the heritage. We just say that. We don't quite know what it means. They were protesting against things that were not of God. And Protestant nations and Catholic nations. And it broke out into the 100-year physical war. I pray there's no war here. But that shows you the intensity. When God's kingdom is on the move, he is here to displace the kingdom that was there. There's a book, if you want to get real intellectual, It's a great book. It'll really help you, but you got to dig in. By Francis Schaeffer, who died decades ago. Francis Schaeffer is often called the Christian philosopher of the 19th century. Not 19th century, the 1900s, the 20th century. It's called The Myth of Neutrality. I still got the book. I've had the book for probably 40 years. We studied it as a senior in high school because I went to a Christian school. So if a senior, did y'all study it? Okay, so if a senior in high school can read it, you guys can read it if you want to. This is the point. I said it earlier. Nature abhors a vacuum. And he was speaking, you know, I think it was written in the 70s, so he's speaking 50 years ago. And he's saying, there is no neutrality. How much have we heard politically or at work, just be quiet and remain neutral? No. If you're neutral, something else will fill it in. Now, the Lord has given us, and I've already got it written, sometime in the future, I'll talk about how do we walk with unbelievers in a way that's respectful, in a way that's loving, in a way that changes. But Reformation is coming. It really is. This time around, he's not just looking for revivals that last 4 or 5 years. He's looking for revivals to turn into Reformation, where the second great Reformation was, what, 1804, 1803, 2, 5, somewhere around in there, where they emptied bars and they closed down because nobody was going to them anymore, and they closed down jails because nobody was there. There was nobody to put in them because they all got saved, and not just saved, transformed. I'm telling you, that's coming. And I believe this epic season of transformation is on its way. And we're going to be a part of it, amen, in our own little world. We're going to see it. This is what occupying is. So hold on to this thought. We often ask the Lord, Lord, what is my assignment? What is my goal? And those are good questions. We need to ask them. But I'm going to give you a better question. Lord, what are you doing that I can partner with you on? Lord, instead of saying, what is, give me a dream to do for my life, say, Lord, I think this is a better question. And those aren't wrong. Lord, what is your dream for my area, for my domain? I challenge you not just to hear it. We were talking at the break that people often they hear things and go, that's not God, but then they don't apply it to themselves. Write it down or memorize it. And every day go, Lord, what is your dream that I can partner with you on? That I can co-labor with? Now keep in mind, God only does big projects. His first big project was 6 days of creation. That's probably the biggest. But you look through the Old Testament and the New Testament. He did big things. Just saying. As we said last week, and I'm just going to repeat it because sometimes there's different people. And I don't even remember what I said last week. Why should I expect you to remember? Heaven is not your final destination, and it's never been. He created this earth to last forever. Heaven is His domain, and it's set up, it's decorated, it's organized, it's run the way He likes it. And He set up earth for us to decorate it, organize it, and put it, as I wouldn't say just necessarily as we like it, but as we walk with Him and take His principles and presence in it. If heaven, it says in the end in Revelation that there's going to be a new heaven and new earth. There's a lot of theological beliefs on that. But let's just say, but it does tell me this, it's going to be around. And Jesus is 100% man and 100% God. And it says He's going to set up His headquarters. So what does that say? Eventually, everybody in heaven, and if we die before then, is coming back to here. And I think that's a common, I think everybody knows that here, but that's not a common Christian thing. If heaven was our destination, think about this. There would end up being no people on earth, and why would we have a earth? He's like, I got my place. You got your place. And occupying is learning how to make your place according to your personality as it follows His principles and presence. That's good. If you're a Pentecostal group, you would have said amen. Isaiah 45:18. Y'all all right? I always think I'm going to get further along in my notes. But it's all good. Isaiah 45:18. For this is what the Lord says. He who created the heavens. He is God. He who fashioned and made the earth. He founded it. He started it. He did not create it to be empty. Have you ever read this verse before? Isaiah 45:18. He founded it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. So when we die, we go to heaven. But that's because we had sin and our bodies die. So it's a holding cell till we get new transformed bodies. And as 1 Thessalonians says, when He comes back, we're going to be caught up with Him. And then He's going to keep coming back. The dead in Christ shall raise first. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is not the rapture. That's a common verse for the rapture. I'm not going on that subject, but when you read it, it says the dead in Christ shall be raised first. We shall go up next, and then He returns to the earth. That's the second coming of Jesus Christ. Why is He coming back? He's going, I've got a group of people who were on earth that I trained to occupy, who are now in heaven and got more courses. We don't just sit around and listen to the worship team all the time. You're going to go to class. I don't know what the class is going to look like. I doubt they'll be online. And He's going to teach us how to be rulers and reign with Him on the earth even more. Pretty cool. You're going to get a PhD in something. Psalms 115:16. Before we read this, somebody asked me recently, because there's a lot of talk about the end times. There's always a lot of talk. Since I was in the 70s and Hal Lindsey did that book in the 70s that came out called The Late Great Planet Earth. If you don't know about it, don't worry about it. I mean, you can read it, but that's not my point here. I mean, everybody was abuzz. He's coming back next year. People dropped out of college, sold their businesses. Yeah, that was another 12 years later of insanity. And so they dropped out. And guess what? I mean, I'm 65, so I don't know how old I was. Let's say I was 15. So it's like 50 years ago, and He still hasn't come back. He could come back tomorrow. He really could. This is my point. They asked me, when do you think He's coming back? And this is what I said. I said, I hope He's not coming back anytime soon. And it totally wigged them out. They weren't in this church. They were in another church. That pastor probably hates my guts now as they went to. They said, why? I said, because this is the fun stuff. This is the only place you can have faith to see God move and change a realm. When you get to heaven, it's change, baby. There ain't nothing to fix there, except you, maybe. And He'll work on that. I want to build up as much as possible occupying and changing people's lives and freedom and whatever else He has for us. Writing songs, writing poetry, writing books. Whatever it is that you do. Building businesses to help the kingdom. Because those are rewards. That's how you get into the Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. Do you think Abraham would have taken him 25 years to have a son in heaven? They're not even married. You get my point. This is the fun stuff. Yeah, it's hard. But that's where we get to shine, and that's where God gets the most glory. If you're in heaven, of course you love God. Of course you love being there. And we should. But that gives them some glory. But when you choose every day to say, Father, this day is just terrible, but I give You gratitude anyway. I give You thanks anyway. I thank You that things are going to change. I can just see him. There's my son. There's my daughter. They believe me, even the whole world may be against them. Psalms 115:16. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth He has given to man. A common thing that people talk about all the time, I can't believe God because there's so much evil in the world. I can't believe He allows it. I can't believe it. And so I've had that question, and I say, God allows whatever you allow. Well, He shouldn't allow, I think this particular conversation, shouldn't allow rape. I said, okay. So He starts killing the rapists, or whatever you want to do to them. Let's just say kill them. What happens when you lie to your wife? What punishment will you get? Well, it's not the same. He gives the earth to man in free will and choice because that's one way we're created in His image. And He believes in us enough. And this group of people and other remnant like us all across the earth, He believes they can be supernatural. They can be supernormal. They can start changing the world from the inside and out without me zapping them. Because He's not going to zap them now anyway because of what the cross did. But what about judgment? Oh, it's coming. There is a last great judgment. If they don't confess the sins and receive Him as His Savior, there is a judgment, and it will not be fun. Let me end with this because it's been enough time, and we'll pick it up again next week, or no, Tom will be here. Heaven should not be our goal or passion. It's a nice benefit. I get that. It's better than some. There's some major denominations that believe in the sleep of the soul, which means when you die, you go into some kind of non-existence until the last second coming of Jesus Christ. I mean, that doesn't hurt. I guess that's not bad. But I like heaven better. Heaven should not be our passion. Our passion should be bringing heaven to earth. Matthew 6:10. I said 6:33 earlier. My bad. Your kingdom, the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why we have to have the prophetic of the plan plus prophetic, because we need to know what's in heaven. The Bible gives us a lot of guidance, but there's a lot of things in our life that's not detailed enough for us to live out. And we go, Father, I need your plan. I need your wisdom. I need your strategies. And He goes, well, this is how we do it in heaven. And you're created in my image. Why don't you try this? Let's stand. And I'll pray over you guys. Appreciate you. Been a good evening. We worked, we worshiped, we worked in intercession. Gave you some things to think about here with the Word. I love you guys. It is fun walking with Jesus with you guys. I am much better off hanging around you than if I was just hanging around myself. Even though I think I'm great, really, it gets old after a while. Father, I just thank you for this group of people. They are such a blessing. And I know they bless you, and you're a blessing to them. And we just pray, as that sign out in the lobby right near the door says, live close. Let us live close this week, and I'm just going to add, let us live right. Bless them, help them, give them plans and prophetic insight. However, through the still small voice, dreams, visions, other people, your word. But I thank you that your purpose of why they're on the earth, they're going to leave this earth having fulfilled it. In Jesus' name, amen.